In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and it's great to be with you. So as we start off our conversation this morning, I'd like to start off with Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And also we turn to Mary and the Hail Holy Queen as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's pray the prayer to Mary that she loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. So together, Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So now, my friends, we're going to turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor. He's also known as the Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is known also as the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit is our intimate friend. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us as we get ready for Pentecost. Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles, and we invoke the Holy Spirit to descend upon us too. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Peter, pray for us. all God's angels and saints pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'd like to welcome you all to our perseverance family conversation and the family that prays together, stays together. We always start off by praying to Mary, then we pray to the Holy Spirit. Then we pray to a litany of saints as well as angels that they will come and be with us in this family conversation, which we're all trying to get to know and love God more and more each day. To encourage you all the more, I will be praying for all of you. I'll be praying for all of you. And the prayer will be the greatest of all prayers. And that will be the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass, my friends, is the greatest of all prayers. It's the greatest of all prayers. It's the prayer that unites heaven to earth and earth to heaven. Like a bridge, like a rainbow that connects two realities, God to us and us to God. So in this holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'd like to place all of you on the altar. All of you on the altar. And I'd like to offer prayers for your intentions, as well as mine. The first will be, I'd like to pray for all of you, as well as myself, as we get ready for Pentecost. So tomorrow night we'll be entering into the feast day of Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the apostles. So I'd like to pray that all of us would be open, that all of us will be more and more open to the Holy Spirit in our lives. More and more open to the Holy Spirit in our lives. And invite all of us to pray that short prayer to Mary and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be I'd like to pray for all of your families, especially your children and your teenagers. Much can be said on this topic. However, I'd like to pray that all of you would be the best of teachers to your children. Because the first and primary teacher in the family has to be the mother and the father. That you take this responsibility very seriously. Very seriously. Your responsibility to be the moral, spiritual teachers of your children. Especially in the ways of faith. And last but not least, I'd like to pray for world peace. And as that song of the 60s and 70s express, Lord, let there be peace and let it begin with me. And I also invite all of us to pray that we would be able to eliminate abortion. My friends, the worst moral evil in our country is that of abortion. We want to do all we possibly can to be men and women of life, because we believe very firmly that life is a gift from God. Life begins at the very moment of conception until natural death. Life begins at the very moment of conception until natural death. So let's do all we possibly can to promote life. And my friends, I invite you also to pray for our Marian consecration group that we started yesterday in the Church of St. Therese in Alhambra. A nice group of people. We started off our consecration program, which lasts 4 weeks, and it culminates on June 27th, which is the feast day of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which will have a beautiful Mass, a Marian Eucharistic procession, and the imposition of the scapulars on those who will be consecrating themselves to Mary through meditating upon the mysteries of the Rosary, as well as on the seven sorrows of Mary. So, thanks be to God. Pray for all those who are making this Marian consecration, that God would give them special graces. My next intention will be, I'm asking you to pray for many intentions. This coming Tuesday, once again, I'll be starting the spiritual exercises program in Spanish in the Church of San Felipe Neri in Linwood. We're hoping that a lot of people will come to make this summer session of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. We're hoping for the best. Ask for your prayers. And then before entering into the riches of the Word of God, I'd like to make a reference to June, the month of June, is a month in which we honor in a special way the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, especially the first Friday of the month. And liturgically, as mentioned at the top of our program, this Sunday will be the feast day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. And the following Sunday we'll be celebrating the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith, which is the Blessed Trinity. Then the following Sunday will be the feast day of Corpus Christi, which is the body and blood of Christ, which is the body and blood of Christ. Then, the following Friday will be the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So in this month of June, we want to focus on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and all that entails. The heart is a symbol of love, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a symbol of the great love that Christ has for us. Now, word on the first Fridays of the month. If you look on my studio wall, you can see a portrait of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you can see a nun kneeling down. And that's the apparition of Jesus to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1600s, where Jesus said, "Behold the heart that loves so much and has received only coldness and indifference in return. Console my heart." And what Jesus did was he insisted that Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque promote devotion to the Sacred Heart. So when you see the picture of the Sacred Heart with the heart outside the body surrounded by fire and thorns, that's the vision that Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque had back in the 1600s in the convent of Paray-le-Monial in France. And he asked Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque to spend an hour Thursday night to console him, to be with him as if she were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus also asked for the practice of the first Fridays. So I'd like to explain that, because this is the first Friday in the month of June. Jesus asked that we participate in 9 consecutive First Fridays, 9 in a row, which we try to go to confession around that date, that we go to Mass on that day, and that we go and we receive Holy Communion. Receive Holy Communion on the first Friday, with the purpose of offering a communion of reparation for the sins against the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So if you've never done this practice, this would be a good start. If you've already done the first Fridays, well, do it again. And Jesus promises special blessings, especially when we're going to be leaving this world, that he will be merciful to us. So let's live out the practice of the first Fridays of the month. The first Fridays of the month. And to console the heart of Christ. Now you might ask, well, Father, what should we do by means of offering reparation? And there are many things, many acts of reparation that we try to accomplish. However, I would say one of the most important acts of reparation should be toward Jesus in the Mass, in the Eucharist. In this sense, that Jesus suffers very much in the Mass and the Eucharist, most specifically because he's ignored, he's treated with indifference, he's treated with coldness, he's treated with disrespect. So, we want to offer up a reparation for especially the sins against the Sacred Heart of Jesus that's truly present in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, as well as all the tabernacles throughout the world. And we know from experience, it's happened to us that we have been in our lives treated with coldness, with indifference, with apathy, even with rejection. We've all experienced that, and that's very painful. And we should pray for those who have treated us in that way. But we can't deny the fact that that's painful. Now, if we've experienced the pain of being shunned, snubbed, rejected, forgotten, taken for granted, being received with coldness and indifference, we've all experienced that in our life. In one way or another, maybe even in your family, you experience that now and then by your loved ones, those who love you so much, that's the way they treat you at times. Maybe we've done the same. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experiences the same thing, but to a higher degree because of the delicate nature of who He is. The more refined the person, the more refined, the more delicate the nature of the person, the more he experiences suffering at the offenses that are leveled against him. I'm going to ask you a somewhat of a difficult question to respond to. What is the opposite of love? What is the opposite of love? I can already hear you saying, well, it's going to be hatred, Father. I won't deny that. But there's also another manifestation of the opposite of love. And that can be considered, my friends, sheer indifference, apathy. If I were to go to your house, maybe to visit, and you had an argument with me, okay, there would be a certain amount of suffering, arguing, not agreeing on some topic. But if I were to go to your house, and you put me in a side room or the garage and you ignored me, you just ignored me, that would be even more painful. That'd be even more painful. Being ignored. Almost as if I didn't exist. If you argue with me, at least you recognize the fact that I am a person. But you ignore me almost as if I don't exist. So offering a communion reparation to Jesus in the Eucharist can be very pleasing to him. Very pleasing to him. Most pleasing. I'd like to develop this theme a little bit more. Then we have a beautiful gospel today, which you love, and you will love all the more, I hope. However, go back, if you're my age, go back a couple of generations. In the United States or the Philippines or Mexico or generally throughout the world. Back in the 50s and 60s, you would have 75 to 80% of the people that would go to Mass on Sunday. Now you have 75 to 80% that don't go to Mass on Sunday. That crass, that crass manifestation of coldness and indifference. Of coldness and indifference. Coldness and indifference toward our Lord in His Eucharistic presence. Especially the Mass. Without a doubt, must cause great suffering to the heart of Christ. That's what he said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Behold the heart that has loved so much. And that harsh heart was pierced with the lance. The heart that has loved so much and has received only indifference and coldness in return. Heart of Christ is the symbol of love. Heart of Christ is a symbol of love. Jesus said that I've come to cast fire on the earth. I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire is enkindled. I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I am not at peace until that fire be enkindled. So, talking about the most sacred heart of Jesus, talking about the first nine First Fridays, talking about our duty in justice and charity to offer up reparation for the many sins against the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let's do all we can to repair for and to console the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And of course, tomorrow will be the first Saturday of the month in which we want to honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In fact, we really cannot separate the two hearts. Really cannot separate the two hearts. These two hearts are intertwined. They're connected. They're united. These hearts are interconnected. They're intertwined. Behold the heart that loves so much and receives only indifference and ingratitude. What's lacking, my friends, in this world is fire. Jesus said it, I've come to cast fire on the earth. And I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. Come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. That fire is love. Tomorrow evening we'll be celebrating Pentecost. And what is Pentecost, my friends? It is the coming of the Holy Spirit in wind and in fire. The flames of fire will descend upon the heads of the apostles, as well as on Mary. Come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. So my friends, we're in the month of June. We're in the month of June, and let's do all we possibly can in the month of June to fall in love with the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. To find our rest, to find our repose in the heart of Jesus. This is one of the readings for the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. From Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus said, I have come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be kindled. I'm sorry, the verse would be rather this. Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls. For you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us find, my friends, our rest, our solace, our repose in the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's where we want to find our rest, our repose in the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So, my friends, we're arriving at the Acts of the Apostles, where St. Paul is going to be sent from one place to another. He's going to be sent from Jerusalem. Then he's going to be sent to Rome. He's going to be placed in the prison in Rome. He'll be in the Mamertine prison in Rome. He'll write his letter to the Romans from that prison. And eventually he's going to die in Rome. And he will be beheaded. And his head will bounce three times. There you have the Tre Taverni, the three taverns, or according to tradition, from the earth, water sprouted up. St. Paul. I invite you to try to see the movie St. Paul. But then the gospel, I'd like to focus, my friends, especially on the gospel today, as we're coming, my friends, we're coming to the conclusion, to the end. We're coming actually to the end, my friends, of the Easter season. Easter season lasts 50 days. Right now we're in the Novena to the Holy Spirit. We're in the Novena of the Holy Spirit, and it concludes with the Solemnity of Pentecost. So we've been reading over the past couple of weeks the Gospel of St. John. John 14 all the way up to John chapter 17, 18, which is the Last Supper discourse of Christ. Yesterday, Jesus' prayer that we all may be one. There's so much division in the church, but Christ wants us to be one. Never have we lived in such a divided world as we do today. And one of the principal reasons why is because of the lack of the presence of God in the lives of so many people. So the gospel for today, my friends, is the last chapter of the last gospel and almost the last few verses. Then, as you know, after the Gospel of John, we move right into the Acts of the Apostles. So we arrive at the very conclusion, almost the very conclusion of the Gospels. So I'd like to summarize the Gospel passage for today. And I'd like to amplify it a little bit more to get the whole context. It's a beautiful passage. It's a beautiful passage. So here's the context. Peter is standing on the shore. Of Lake Galilee. You might even try to make a contemplation of this wonderful scene. He's standing on the shore. And he stands on the shore. He has some of his friends there, the other apostles, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. So Peter's not just, he's not going to be standing around idle, but he's going to go back to work. I'm going fishing. So they say, we'll go with you. So where would you see in Peter this leadership quality? That he is chosen by Christ to be the head of the apostles, the head of the first church. So they get into the boat with Peter. And they're fishing. And these are professional fishermen that know that lake like the back of their hand. Like the back of their hand. So they're fishing the whole night. You remember that in Luke chapter 5, Jesus will say, I will make you fishers of men. So they're going back to their fishing business, and Peter, James, and John, and a few others, they're fishing the whole night. And they catch nothing. Their nets are empty. As the sun is rising, there on the shore, there is a man that they don't recognize. And he cries out to them, little children, have you caught anything? And they say, no. And the man of the shore says, cast your nets on the other side. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they obey this anonymous figure that we know is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And they catch so many fish. So many fish. That the nets are on the point of breaking. That moment, St. John the Evangelist, I like to call him Eagle Eye John, St. John the Evangelist, he recognizes that that man on the shore is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter, impetuous, spontaneous, sometimes acting without thinking, so overfilled with joy because of his love for the Lord, to be with the Lord, to stay with the Lord, to accompany the Lord, he jumps into the lake. And he swims to the shore. It was only about 100 yards. The other apostles arrive a little bit later, dragging the net filled with fish. They actually counted the number of fish. Very interesting. He actually counted the number of fish. And the number of the fish was 153, not minnows. Not small fish, but big fish. Big fish, you might even call them whoppers. Big fish, you might even call them whoppers. And there they are on the shore of Lake Galilee. There is Jesus on the shore. And he's carrying out a very, very beautiful gesture. He is preparing for the apostles their breakfast. Because he is aware of the fact, he's aware of the fact that these men have been working hard all night. They're probably famished. They're probably famished. So he's preparing for them fish and bread, and he tells them to bring some more fish. Peter goes and drags the net ashore. None of them denied that that was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. None of them denied that. So here we have Christ feeding his disciples, his friends, with bread and fish. He's feeding them. There's a real symbolism there because fish is a symbol of Christ, but also Jesus is giving them bread. And earlier, he will preach what is called the Bread of Life Discourse. The Bread of Life Discourse would be there in the synagogue of Capernaum. Where Jesus says in unequivocal terms that he's the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So Jesus, who is the bread of life, is feeding them physical bread now. Physical bread. He would teach them also the prayer of the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, after Jesus finishes feeding the apostles with the bread and the fish, we arrive at the very heart of the gospel for today. But I've set the stage, the whole overall context of this passage, which you find in John chapter 21, which is the last chapter of the last gospel. Now what Jesus does is he takes Simon Peter, son of John, apart. And Jesus is going to be taking a walk with Simon Peter. He's going to be taking a walk with Simon Peter. And I invite you to take this walk. Take the walk with him. Try to imagine the scene. In the background, you have Lake Galilee. You have the boats that are moored. You've got the net of fish. You've got the charcoal fire. You've got the group of the apostles. Try to imagine that you're present there in this beautiful scene. So part of the contemplation is we try to mentally imagine and construct the scene, then we become part of the scene. To mentally construct the scene and to become part of the scene. So Peter's walking, Jesus walking side by side with Peter, but walking behind them is another apostle, and that is the apostle St. John. He's walking behind them. And as they walk along the seashore, and try to imagine that maybe you're John, or walking next to John, or even walking next to Peter, try to be present there. This is a typical contemplation. You imagine the place, the persons, their words, their gestures, enter the colloquy, derive a lot of fruit. This is a typical scene of Ignatian contemplation. Typical scene for Ignatian contemplation. So Jesus walks. Jesus enters into dialogue with Simon Peter as he wants to enter into dialogue with you and with me. And he says, rather he asks, Simon, son of John, said, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? And Simon Peter responds to him. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, with that, Jesus, he's conferring on Peter an office, a responsibility. He says, Feed my lambs. Jesus, the good shepherd, tells Peter, the fisherman, feed my lambs. Imagine the scene now. They're walking a little bit further along the shore of Lake Galilee. And once again, Jesus asks Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? The second time. Peter responds, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, you know all things, I love you. Now he's going to say, feed my sheep. So they're walking on further. Jesus asks the question. This is the third time. Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. Peter was hurt because he was asked the third time if he loved Christ. He was hurt. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And once again, Jesus says, feed my sheep. So Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now what do we have here? There's a lot. And I invite you to spend time meditating upon this wonderful biblical passage that you find at the very end of the Gospel of St. John. And one of the primary messages is the following. That Simon Peter was asked three times by Jesus Christ if he really loved him. And he said three times yes. This goes back to the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane and the arrest of Christ and Jesus in the courtyard as well as Peter in the courtyard, where Jesus said, amen, amen, I say to you, all of you will abandon me. Peter says, Lord, they might do it, but I will not. I'm Peter. I will not. I will not. And Jesus goes on to say, amen, I say to you, Peter, before the cock crows, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And that's exactly what Peter did. He denied our Lord three times. Right now, Peter is reaffirming his love for Christ three times. We talked earlier, my friends, about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We talked also about the obligation and justice to repair for the sins against the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Peter was offering up reparation for his sins against Christ, the fact that he denied Christ three times. Right now in the Gospel, Peter is reaffirming, he's reaffirming his love for Christ. Being honest, we have also denied Christ probably more than three times. We have. We've denied him. We betrayed him. We failed Christ more than three times. More than three times. And what Jesus was asking St. Peter, he's asking you and he's asking me right now. And it's that simple but all-important question. Do you love me? And like Peter, I hope that all of us in this Perseverance family, all of us, we've all failed the Lord more than once. But we know that the Lord is very merciful. It's his greatest attribute. Let all of us today, like St. Peter, say once, say twice, say three times, say it 100 times. Say these words, moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.